I'm wondering if I could ask you to pray for my sister. She was just taken to hospice, end-of-life care. God has been so merciful in her life, healed her of cancer twice, and now fights this last battle. My comfort comes knowing that she loves God and she's been baptized in Jesus' name. This isn't the end. It's another doorway, as birth is one doorway, death is another doorway. And as much as I would love to see her healed, God's sovereign. I can ask, and I believe, and we've all experienced the miracles of God, the hand of God that confounds everything else we know in life. But nevertheless, it's his decision, not ours. I talked to her daughter, my niece, today, and she's in so much pain. And so if you would pray for her right now and ask God to intervene. Jesus, Lord, you're so merciful in our lives, God. I ask God that you somehow reach down and touch her, God. Help her through this, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your healing, God. Thank you for your touch. We'll give you the praise, give you the honor. It's in Jesus' name, amen. While you're standing, if you'd turn to Ezekiel 37. Verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, God said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Not too positive, not full of faith. I wonder how we would respond when God asks us difficult questions. He wasn't sure, so he said, you know. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Remember when that happened? The breath of God entered into us, and now we became a living, breathing member of God's body. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word and your people. Let it accomplish what you wanted to accomplish tonight in our lives. Strengthen us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, right after this service, we're going to have a field trip, and we're going to go out to the nearest cemetery. But really, you don't have to go to a place where people are buried. They're walking dead right outside this building. And that's what God is talking about. What about that man? What about that woman? You think they can live? Do you think they could be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name? Lord, you know us. More and more, I feel like I just don't fit in with the rest of society. Every day, it seems like it's so bizarre out there, just so strange out there. And you can, you know, acclimate yourself to it and not be shocked anymore based on what you see, what you hear, what's going on. Hebrews 11 and 3 says, "We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth." We really are. The word stranger means foreigner, and the word pilgrim means, in the Greek, alien. We're really aliens to this world. We really are. We just don't fit in with the culture of our day, and that's how God wants it. He said, "Come out from among them and be separate, because you don't belong in the rest of society. You don't fit." And if you get to the place where you're so anxious to fit in with everybody else, that's a very precarious place for us to be. But even more strange is that we don't fit in with the rest of the mainstream religion. And yes, we want to get along with people, but we can't compromise to fit in with everybody else because they might think that we're holy rollers or we're a little different than everybody. We are. Turn to somebody and say, "You're not normal." And please stay that way. To most people in and out of the church, we are radical. We're hair on fire crazy. We're way out there, you know. But have you seen what is walking around town these days? And they call us radical? Hallelujah. Today's culture values living on the edge. They really do. Going against the norm, swimming upstream to make a splash. They really want the attention of everybody else around them. And that's why we see extreme sports, extreme styles, extreme music, extreme lifestyles. You know, I don't want to be in the norm anymore. I want to stand out. You know, because I want the attention. You want somebody's attention, you can get the attention of God. That's extreme, folks. People are screaming, "Look at me, I'm different. I stand out." Now, we can criticize them and withdraw from them because they're just not like us. I'm glad somebody didn't do that with me. Or we can embrace the radicals because we are radical as well. The dictionary defines radical as departing from the usual or customary, favoring and revolutionizing change in current practices. So not normal, and it's hard to find some normal people. I guess the question is, what is normal in this life? We aren't normal. We are abnormal as far as the world and religion is concerned. We are odd, bizarre, unconventional, eccentric, extreme on behalf of our belief. And most people, you know, you couldn't even read the scripture in most churches because they think it's just absolutely impossible. That could not have happened, and certainly none of this kind of thing could happen in today, but we've experienced it, you see. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or belonging exclusively to God, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We can't do that and look normal in this generation. We're called out. Called out. I'm afraid that there's a dumbing down these days to want to blend in with the rest of society. And God's not very pleased with that. The word radical in Latin means having roots or going back to the roots or basic. We need to be like the early church. They were radical. There's no question about it. Apostolic Christianity was never intended to be a religious ritual. It was born in a radical lifestyle, nonconformist, rejecting traditions and religions. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, well, they didn't like that at all. You know, they wanted to continue with the traditions that didn't give them any kind of power, any satisfaction, any fulfillment. But nevertheless, let's hold on to what we had. Today, some churches feel that they are radical because they shout hallelujah every once in a while. You know, that's not radical. That's norm. That's what the church is about. We're vocal about our love for God. We demonstrate how much we love God. And we don't care who understands or how it is reacted to other people. Radical Christianity is believing God for the supernatural in every service. Walking in here thinking, God, you could do something great for me tonight. You know? Hallelujah. Radical Christianity is sold out to God. Completely sold out to God. Whatever you want, God, that's what I'm going to do. And that goes beyond what the average person would dare to live like. Because their idea of religion is just an hour a week or giving a little bit to God. And yes, we will be criticized by mainstream religion and lukewarm saints. Because of how radical we are. Those who would fight against us crazy Christians are fighting against God and his peculiar people. Turn to Acts, the 9th chapter. Verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound onto Jerusalem. Well, that's kind of radical. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, when you persecute the church, you're persecuting God. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You come against God's people, you come against God, you know? Yes, we're different. Yes, we're radical. In the past, they have been ridiculed and persecuted, but still thrived. Isn't it amazing? The more we're persecuted and ridicule, the more we thrive and the faster people grow. That's what happened to the early church. The most dangerous opponent of radical Christianity is not the liberal media or humanistic government or secular society. Those aren't the things that prevent us from going ahead with God, but apathetic so-called Christians who want to just be comfortable in their salvation. And that is the greatest threat to the church right now, is just wanting to be comfortable and not wanting to stand out. It's true. We can't become an oxymoron church or a Christian that isn't apostolic. We can't just have the title and not be the people. You see, oxymoron, deafening science, exact estimate, fresh frozen, genuine imitations, definitely a maybe, minor crisis, pretty ugly, jumbo shrimp, all oxymorons, you know? Or how about quiet Pentecostals, passive worship? A dead church, denominal Pentecostal, oxymorons. I don't want to be. God has designed us in an upper room to be radical for a radical society. He wants us to stand out. He really did. And he's given us the power in order to stand out with authority. Before Acts 2, Jesus said in Acts 1 and verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The early church started out in obedience in Acts 1 and 8, but stopped too soon. They wanted to reach out in Jerusalem among their own kind. They wanted to be around those that they came out of or be comfortable with, but they didn't want to go to the ends of the earth or even Samaria with this message because they just didn't want to be uncomfortable. What they wanted was to sit in a state of spiritual blessing in Jerusalem. We can, in the end times, want to be comfortable and sit in a state of spirituality in the church. I'm getting enough church right here, but that's not what God has designed us to do. We have the notion that that's all we need to do is stay saved. Jesus wanted them to leave their comfort zone and go out and reach other people just as he had left heaven to come down and save us. It would have been more comfortable being in heaven, not taking on the role of flesh. Our responsibility isn't to just have great church and hope that somehow people will somehow stumble in here. And if we are not willing to go as he commanded us, and it is a great commission to go teach other nations. God has two alternatives if we won't do what he said. The same was true for the early church. They wouldn't do what God said, and so he forced them. He forced them. The two alternatives are problems to get our attention and to find someone else who will be willing to go. I don't want anybody else to take my place, my privilege, if you will. The Jerusalem church was originally chosen to birth this message. A man who was kind of radical, which was Peter, he was the first one to bring this message forward. You know, he was the one who denied the Lord three times, but when the wind came and the bones came alive, all of a sudden he'd stand up in front of thousands of people and say, you are responsible for the death of your only Lord and Savior. It's still the same message today. They were anointed, had great teaching, great worship, amazing miracles, but God turned his attention to Antioch because Jerusalem would not go and witness outside the church. Paul came to Jerusalem with his vision of reaching the Gentiles, but they sent him to Antioch because he was just too radical. You realize the city of Antioch was where all of the descendants of those who were tortured and burned at the stake and martyrs, they went to Antioch in order to save themselves during that period of time. And that they were the first ones to be called Christians. If our little church becomes the sum total of our vision, or let's just have a good church, this church will not last beyond the third generation. We'll get to the place where all of a sudden we dwindle in numbers and we don't have the power we had. We were born to be radical. Turn to Acts, the 11th chapter. Verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. First, I'm an apostolic Pentecostal. I'm a saint of the Most High God. Amen. We're not going to dumb this thing down. We're not going to be called something else. The Galatians got comfortable in just being saved. And that's the problem today. We can get comfortable just being saved. I know messages like this aren't well received when we don't want to do anything. But Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and you now are made perfect in the flesh? We started in the Spirit. God allowed us to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and we had the greatest experience and miracle in our lives, speaking in a language that we have never learned. I can't help but tell other people that this experience happened to me, and it can happen to you as well. You see, we were born to be wild. Amen. It's more fun than bowing our heads and folding our hands. It's fun to come to church and be involved in our God, involved in our worship, you know? Well, but it's Wednesday. The radical generation has to have a radical experience with God. It seems like people are not coming to church because there isn't anything exciting going on in the church. I know there are mega churches that entertain people with all kinds of things, but that's not enough. That eventually gets old as well. But when they have a supernatural experience like I had when I first walked into the church, it causes me to want to know more about the God who just touched me. The only way our church can stay alive is to reach out for more people. We are not keepers of aquariums. We're fisher of men. You come into truth in a very radical way, speaking in tongues and worshiping God, holding nothing back. Remember? What would you have me to do, God? It's so exciting. You can hardly understand. How could God be so real? And I didn't know about it all of these years. I've read the Bible. I've gone to church, but I never experienced anything like that. I've got to tell somebody. Some of you older saints were once wild worshipers. Just don't stop because of arthritis. Glory to God. Amen. It's the activity. It's what keeps us alive. Radical Christians can't live at 20 miles an hour. We must put the pedal to the metal. And the more you give to God, the more you receive from God, and the more exciting it becomes. You know, I'm just not holding on until Jesus comes. Habakkuk. One of my favorite books, Habakkuk 1:5 says in the New Living Translation, look at the nation and be amazed. Watch and be astounded at what I will do. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. Could that be true? I've experienced a lot of incredible things since I've been in the church, a lot of miracles in the church, but could it be that something even greater, something even more miraculous is right? Even if I told you, you wouldn't believe that this is going to happen. The expectation of what God could do, because there's no limit to his power. You can't put any kind of limitations on God in any way. The limitations that we have are because of us, not because of God. God's people have always been a radical people. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Hey, shh. Come down. Come down. So who did God go to? The radical? Or those who were saying, calm down, calm down. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. Let's take our coats off and cut branches. And hey, can't you rebuke those disciples? The radicals are here. Hallelujah. It's not time to get comfortable. It's not time to settle into traditions. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. I've experienced it all. And now let somebody else do it. So we fit into the norms of our culture. You know, years ago, when I first came into the church, the church was growing and it was exciting. But the pastor at one point felt like, we're going to offend some visitors. We got a lot of visitors on Sunday morning. We're going to offend some visitors. So tell you what, let's not be so radical on Sunday mornings. Let's do it on Sunday nights. And in fact, we won't even have an altar call on a Sunday morning. We'll just dismiss people because it'll be more comfortable. Well, that lasted for about 3 weeks. You see, because that's, you know, we're not hiding behind a mill. We're not ashamed of what we are and what God is doing in our life, you see. You know, when people come to a Pentecostal church, they're expecting us to be a little crazy. You know, that's why they're here in the first place, because they're bored stiff in the church services that they've been in. They're looking for something more exciting, more powerful in the first place. Glory to God. God said to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37:4, prophesy or preach upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. Now that's radical. You know, I've heard so many stories. I remember this missionary who was driving down the road, and God said, stop your car, get out. I've told this story, and preach the gospel right there. Sister Nona Freeman. And she did. And then she got back in her car and drove away. And years later, she went to a conference, and there was a minister who came up to her and said, you don't know this, but I was laying in the culvert. I was drunk, and I was ready to end my life. And you preached the word of God to me. Can these bones live? Yes. Oh, that's so foolish. That's so radical, God, for me. Who am I preaching to, the wind? Elijah told Naaman, dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you will be healed of your leprosy. That's radical. God told Moses to stretch forth his rod and divide the Red Sea. Well, really, how radical can you get? I believe our God enjoys performing miracles through us. Let's see if they'll actually do what I ask them to do. No, would you stop and just pray for that individual? Well, I don't even know them. That's radical. But there's a power of God that surges through us. We're not like other people. I've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. If we could just get some radical people to cooperate, that's all. Not just like usual. What about our generation? What about you? O man of God, O woman of God, will you speak to that individual with the green and blue hair, with the tattoos, with all of the piercings? Will they live? Can we get more radical than speaking in a language that we never learned? Jesus' last words before ascending to heaven was in Mark 16 and 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents or have power over the devil. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's radical. That's us. Well, Peter, if you want, why don't you walk out on the water with me? Oh, come on, Lord. I've tried that before. It doesn't work. Radical. Could it be any more fun than being a part of something that is so radical, so powerful, so exciting? God is looking for some radical, extreme, zealous people in these last days. Are you one of them? Are we one of them? Amen. I want to have some fun. I want to see some great things happen. But you know, before I came into a Spirit-filled church, I didn't believe any of these things are possible. But now that I know, there's an old saying, use it or lose it. You know, if I get up in the morning and believe that God wants me to do certain things, He prompts me to do it, and I do it, I'm going to see the results of that. But here's the problem. If God does speak to you and then you defer, or I don't think that can happen, well, is He going to speak to you again? I remember, and I've said this before, I taught a group of teenagers, a Bible study in Milwaukee many years ago. There must have been 15 or 20 of them. And I think almost every one of them came into the church baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And on a Sunday night, God spoke to me about one of the young people that was in that class and said, If he invites his parents to your Bible study, I'm going to save them. And I got so excited because I knew now it wasn't a matter of me. It was just a matter of getting them. God already said they're going to be saved. Amen. Could it be that God could talk to you about an individual, a situation that He wants to do if He can simply get us to cooperate and we can see it happen? I want our level of faith to increase to the point where we're just expecting God to do something every day in our life. God, steer me to somebody. Show me something. Tell me what you want me to do. I'm the servant of the living God. And I want to be a part of the church. I just don't want to hang around until the trumpet sounds. I want to be a little more radical. They're radical. Why can't we be? Would you stand with me, please? O man of God, can these bones live? Thou knowest, Lord. He wouldn't ask the question if it wasn't going to happen. See. And my word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish what I have set it out for. Glory to God. Would you try it out? Would you try it out this week? Would you open yourself up to the voice of God? God, what would you have me to do? If I have to go to Antioch, if I have to go to the north side of Milwaukee and teach a home Bible study, well, that's what you've directed me to do. I'll do it, God. No benefit necessarily to me, but for the kingdom of God. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?